It's my honor to have an opportunity to speak to you this morning. Our brother Chess is taking a well-deserved day of rest, and so you're stuck with me. I'll apologize in advance, but also I do rejoice in the opportunity to be here with you, to celebrate with you, and to share a few thoughts on the Word of God. Our Lord has promised His people many, many things. We can know without question that all of these promises have been or will be fulfilled. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, we read one of these wonderful promises. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, that ye shall eat what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." The greatest gift that our God has given us is, as all Christians know, our salvation. That we, imperfect and undeserving, have been given an opportunity to live with our God eternally is truly and wonderfully amazing. Christ's sacrifice and the forgiveness of our sins are the standard by which all gifts are measured. For this immense gift, we are truly grateful, and I would assert that most Christians understand the nature of this gift and appreciate it appropriately. The everyday gifts that we receive from God in our everyday worldly lives, I think often, though, are unappreciated and go unnoticed. As we just read in Matthew 6, 25 through 34, God has promised us all the worldly things that we might need to continue our lives. As we live our lives day to day, especially in this land, in this time, where we have relative ease and plenty, we don't even think of the wonderful miracles that provide us these things every day. And we certainly don't think of those as miracles. Many people have taken these promises and others that God has made and have distorted them into promises of ease and riches. It's a dangerous but attractive notion, and I'd like to convince you that it is in direct contradiction to many of the most fundamental things that were taught by Christ. To pray and be answered is truly a wondrous privilege and a gift. As we already heard in James 5, 13 through 20, if anyone among you suffers, then pray. If you're cheerful, sing praises. Is any among you sick? Then you must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for another so that you may be healed. A prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish much. We see the example that's given there of Elijah, a man like us, praying and stopping the rain for years, and then praying and God providing. We know that we are to be always in prayer. We're given a model upon which to base our prayers and shows us all of the many things that we are to pray for. This appears in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Notice that we are to give thanks and to glorify God. We are to pray for God's will to be done. We're to pray that our needs will be met. Most importantly, we pray for forgiveness of our sins and deliverance from temptation and future sin. Elsewhere in the Bible, we find that we're to pray, as we just saw, to pray for the health of others, for help for ourselves, both spiritual and physical. This last item, to pray for ourselves, is what becomes for many a stumbling block in their walk with Christ. It's been warped by those who would further their own ends rather than God's purposes. They would like us to believe that we can simply short order whatever it is we want from God, and he'll deliver it right where we want it, right the way we expect it. Those people would have us to believe we can simply pray for some stranger to be healed, and no matter what, that person will be made whole. What then are we to expect in the answers from our prayers? I would say that it is not what these people would like us to think that it is. Let's take the most basic example of this type of prayer. If we were to pray to be made rich, is Christ just going to shower us with money? Not necessarily. But why not? Because we know that God will not lead us into temptation. And as we see in Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 and 24, and Jesus said unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then he answered Peter and said to him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of glory, ye shall all sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life." Riches can make it more difficult to walk the road that Christ has laid out for his people. It's important to note at this point that it is not that God will never bless anyone with riches, but those who are so blessed, however, have an additional burden to use this gift from the Father for the good of the church and not to let that gift overshadow the other parts of their lives. We're also told that being a Christian is not easy. However, God will always help us enough to make it possible. This clearly shows that we cannot reasonably expect that any prayer we can dream up will be answered in the way that we envision it. But if they're not going to be just granted us the way we imagine they should be, how can we expect our prayers to be answered? God's plan, not ours, determines the time, the place, and the circumstances under which he will fulfill our prayers. Thus, God determines how much of something that we are praying for we truly need. He also determines what we need as opposed to what we perceive that we need, and answers our prayers accordingly. Thus, in the answers to our prayers, you should expect to see the tools God deems best for the job and see them at the time when God wants you to use them. In the well-known story in Joshua, the Lord commanded his people to march around a city, blow some horns, and yell. I'm sure to the military leaders of the time that this didn't exactly seem like the answer to their prayers, but it was. As we know, the walls fell and God delivered Jericho to Joshua and the Israelites. As the popular saying goes, the Lord works in mysterious ways. God will answer in his own time as well. A good example of this is the story of Abram and Sarah. Sarah prayed for a child and did not receive one, and when she and her husband expected one, so they decided to take matters into their own hands and pursue it themselves in their own way. This is a well-known story and can be found in Genesis chapters 15 through 17, and it shows well the human doubt that keeps us from trusting God, trusting that God will answer our prayers at all. Abraham and Sarah knew that she was growing too old to have children. But the Lord is all powerful, and if he but think it, anything is possible, including the legacy of Abraham. Trust always that God will fulfill his promise, but that he will do so in his own time, and that it most likely will not be when we think that it is needed or that it should happen. Remember, while some in the world would like us to believe we can pray for our way to fortune and ease, it's not so. Christ promised those things that we need, not luxury or entertainment. Even though that is all that he has promised us, he has given us far more, and for that we should be grateful. We can show gratitude by doing those things that he's commanded us to do with what he has given us. That is, we should share it with those less fortunate. We should use our gifts for the work of the church and for the glorification of the one who gave them. Just as we cannot know when God will answer our prayers, we cannot know or choose how he will choose to answer them either. When we pray for guidance in a situation, doors in our lives may be opened or closed, helping us to move in the direction that God wants us to go. Sometimes when praying for guidance, though, the door that God pushes us through is not even one of the ones that we were praying for assistance in deciding between. Praying for something to eat will not necessarily result in manna falling from heaven. It could. God demonstrated that, and it's been recorded in the Old Testament. But we know that it will more likely be that the answer to those prayers will come through the form of an opportunity for employment or a gift from a fellow Christian. At this point, it's important to realize that we are often God's answer to each other's prayers. Since God blesses us each in a different way, he often will give us the ability to aid one another in ways that will answer prayers. As they say, the Lord works in mysterious ways. We should be thankful that he is so wise and that he uses us as his instruments in taking care of his people. This instance is only one way in which God helps us in ways that we don't expect. Another way in which God often surprises us in his answer to our prayers is by not giving us what it is that we're asking for. Sometimes this challenges our faith because we feel that God is not answering our prayers. In fact, he's doing exactly the opposite. God blessed us based on knowledge not only of what we know and what we understand, but on a complete knowledge of all of our future needs, of everything that's going on in the world and in the universe. And an answer to prayers from that perspective is often going to look different than the answer that we think we should get from our limited knowledge and from our limited understanding. For example, if you were to pray for the ability to buy a house for your family, and years later you still did not have one, you might feel as though God has forsaken you. You may not know is the other situations that could have happened in your life if God had given you what you asked for. You might have been so concerned with making your house payment or maintaining your property that you neglected the church and you neglected your relationships and the people around you, and you might fall into sin and be lost forever. On the other hand, maybe someone else had a need for those resources that you were thinking of saving to use for a house for something even more critical. We cannot know all of the wisdom of God, but I would assert that if we look into our lives, it is possible to see that wisdom reflected in the things that he has given us and how he has given them to us. I know that's true in my life, and I would assert that it's probably true for all of us. That if we look back and we think about how God has answered those prayers, the things he has given us that we didn't expect, that maybe we didn't think we wanted, or the things we desperately wanted that we didn't get, that in that there is some wisdom. And in those areas where we can't see that yet, we need to be faithful that we will see it eventually. Finally, I'd like to make one final point about prayer and the gifts that God gives us. And this point can be summed up in the popular cliche, be careful what you pray for, because you just might get it. Many people expect that the grandiose things for which they pray will be simply dropped into their laps and they'll be free to go on with their life. And I can say from personal experience, that's not usually the case. Many of the things we pray for and are given will require us to work harder than we've ever worked before. Some of them will put us into a place where the luxury or ease that we were imagining can't even be realized, even though we've gotten the exact thing for which we were praying. God does not require us to suffer unnecessarily, but some level of suffering is necessary for us to fully appreciate our God and his gifts, and is fundamentally a part of the world that we live in, the fallen world where sin is a reality, and it's the pain and the suffering that it begins or that it brings is a part of the experience that we all have. A good friend of mine many years ago, Brother Steve Mentz in St. Louis, was kind enough to point me to a passage of scripture when I first presented this lesson. And it does a really good job of pointing out not only the importance of prayer, but of what prayer can do for us in addition to the actual realization of the things for which we are praying. Philippians 4, verse 4 through 7 reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The New International Version renders this passage as, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." What a wonderful thought. We're told that we are not to be anxious, worried, or concerned. By presenting our requests to God by prayer and petition, we will be given the peace of God. How many sleepless nights and ulcers could have been prevented by a full appreciation of this fact? If we truly have presented our concerns, our needs, and our desires to God, then we don't need to worry about them. In fact, if we've truly given them up to God, I would say that we won't, or perhaps even can't, worry about them. In place of the anxiety of wanting a certain outcome or hoping that we get what we need, we are given a peace of God, peace, calm, and happiness that transcends understanding. How great a gift is that? But think about it. If we trust our God to do what he has promised to do, then all we need to do is to pray. And we can have the confidence that things will be just fine. They may not be the way we think we want them. And when we think that what we want or need them, but God knows better, and he will provide according to the perfect knowledge of the past, present, and future, none of which we can know even half as well. We're told in the Bible that we all will suffer as Christians, but also told that we will be taken care of. Remember each day to try to ease the suffering of your fellow men. Help them whenever you can. Love them as God loves you. You never know when you are the mechanism by which God has chosen to answer someone else's prayers. Trust in God, heap upon him your petitions and your prayers, and then don't worry about it. Because God has promised to take care of us and to provide for us not only the things we need, but also the peace of mind that comes with knowing that we will be taken care of. That's all that I have prepared for this morning. So if there's anyone this morning whose prayers for forgiveness have been answered by a call to obey the gospel and be baptized for the remission of sins, or if there's anyone who requires the prayers of the church, please come forward as we stand and sing.